Welcome to The Well. This podcast focuses on applying the Bible to our everyday lives, discussing real life issues from a Christian perspective, and encouraging women to walk in faith. As Jesus followers, we have all experienced the freedom that comes with choosing to follow Him, and we want to be a part of your journey to living a life rooted in Christ. Friends, it is Tiffany with Truth Rising. Oh my goodness, it has been a hot minute. We'll explain a little bit about that in season three. But for season two, we are coming at you with our event we recently had for military and first responder marriages. We held it and we called it The Way. It was a Truth Rising night out event called The Way. And it was fantastic. It was our first event as this team that we have been creating. And y'all, it was something for the books. Let me just put it that way. We want to make sure that those of you that could not attend are able to hear just from all of these amazing hearts that had the courage to get up there and speak into all of the attendees. There was a lot of fun. There's a lot of side chatter. So we didn't want to cut out everything. We want you to kind of get an idea of what to expect with the Truth Rising event. So I left some of that stuff in. But I hope you'll enjoy. We're going to send this out in three different episodes, but it's all within season two. So take a look also within the details of the podcast itself for each episode. It kind of goes further into the speakers, how to maybe connect with them, and all the other things. So without further ado, let's get into it. Woo! I'm excited. Sometimes it's so hard being human. There's so much struggle.
Pretty. Okay, we're going to kick this off. So a couple things before, just so you're aware. The Facebook event said 5. It starts at 4. So it's hopefully, if you see people walking in, that's why. And there was a car accident. So apparently some people are stuck into that as well. Some of our team members. But we're going to go ahead and start. Esme, Maggie, y'all want to come up and kick this thing off? Hi, pretty girl.
All right. How's everyone doing tonight? All right, I am going to just go ahead and pretend that just never happened. I know that you don't know me yet, but I am super excited to be here tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and give you that energy back, and I'm going to ask one more time, how are you guys doing tonight? All right, that's more like it. Welcome, welcome to tonight's event. I am so excited that you're here with us tonight. As a member of Truth Rising, again, I want to welcome you. But I also want to say thank you. Thank you for choosing to spend your night with us. We do hope and pray that tonight you're going to have a lot of fun being in fellowship with us, that you will enjoy an amazing meal prepared by none other than Chef Ed Lorman, who is amazing. Yeah. And above all, I pray that you will be inspired by our speakers' stories and messages. If we didn't get the chance to meet before, my name is Esme, and I am one of the weekly podcast hosts. If you didn't know, Truth Rising does have a weekly podcast that I host along with Maggie. Hello. I also handle some of their social media platform. All of you guys have a flyer that looks like this in front of you. So go ahead and grab that, turn it to the back, And you can see that QR code. If you are on Facebook, Instagram, I want everyone in this room to go ahead and scan that code, go to our page, like it, follow it, and just keep up with everything that we're doing. Every event and just daily encouragement goes on our social media pages. So follow us and like it.
All right, and my name is Maggie. I co-host with Esme quite a bit and do all the fun social media stuff. We want to talk a little bit about what Truth Rising is. It is newer. This is one of our first events. So Truth Rising is a women's ministry that really seeks to speak life and truth into women about Jesus. And we do that through events like this, where we base it off of the story of the woman at the well from the Gospel of John. And so we invite women to come and join us at the well and drink of the living water. And we really just look to encourage women to grow spiritually. We encourage them to create community. And we love to see life change through the power of Christ. And I want to talk a little bit about the event tonight, because you might be wondering, why is a women's ministry hosting a date night for military and first responders? Well, that's because most of our team is affiliated either with the military or first responders in some way, shape, or form. And so, guys, we just want to let you know, we get it. We understand that when you're serving our country or you're serving our communities, that brings a lot of difficulties that other people just don't get. And when you're married to someone serving, that also comes with a lot of difficulties that the average person doesn't understand. So tonight, we really just want to pour into your marriages. We hope that you guys are just encouraged to draw closer to Jesus. And we really just hope that you leave empowered to work on your marriage and really have a marriage that thrives in kind of difficult circumstances with your jobs or being married to somebody with a difficult job. So thank you guys so much for coming. We're so excited. You guys sit back, enjoy the evening. And Esme, if you could open us in prayer, that would be amazing.
Yeah, certainly. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for everything that you so kindly have given to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here tonight. I pray that we will leave this place changed. And that everything that is shared here tonight will be inspiring and in some shape or form will be transforming to all of us who are in this room. We do know that wherever to gather, God, that you are there. We know that two can stand back to back and conquer. We know that three are even better than two, because three cannot easily be broken. So God, I pray that you would bless our families, our friends, and everyone that we come in contact with tonight, not just here, but as we go out of this room tonight, back into our homes, back into our workplace, and back to our churches. I pray that you will be with us, that you will bless us for generations to come. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
So Tara and I are going to be your MCs. And if you're, sorry, the seating, if you want, turn your chairs around, get cozy. Y'all, just this is for fun. So if you want to go sit somewhere else and say hi, go sit somewhere else and say hi. Again, I'm Tiffany, and this is Tara.
I had to get my paper. Hi, guys.
All right, so we're going to tell you how this thing's going to go down for a little bit, and then we're going to get to our beautiful speakers back there. Speakers, not just speakers. Sorry. Go ahead.
There's multiple.
Are you starting? Yes.
No. You're going, girlfriend.
Okay, yes, we are. So, basically, tonight, we couldn't be having this happen without Marcus Point. This church has opened up their doors. They're supporting this. They provided childcare. So I just want to give a huge round of applause for Marcus Point Baptist Church. This is awesome. Yes. You don't hear too many churches that are willing to do something like this. And, y'all, this is just the start of it. We have a lot more in store. So also, other reasons we get this to happen. I'm glad you made it, Christy. You look beautiful.
Welcome.
She got shook.
She entered right at the perfect time. So we also have our sponsors we want to thank. Besides Marcus Point, the Costello's Butcher Shop, if you don't know them, they are local, and they sponsored this event as well as all the food. All the food you guys are going to have is from Costello's. And Chef Ed, we have Chef Ed. He's The Point. I almost forgot it. He works at The Point. It's in Gulf Breeze. And he donated his time to come and cook for you guys and bless you guys with an amazing meal. So you are in for a treat.
Yeah, all we had to do was put football on.
Yeah, just football.
You're not allowed to go in the kitchen, though, guys. Okay? Honey, sorry. You're in trouble tonight. I'm so sorry.
Costello's also donated a gift card for Costello's. So that will be coming along in raffles.
So do you want to tell what is
that's
that
you, girlfriend? KTF.
Oh yeah. Okay, so there's a lot of organizations that came together to make tonight happen. You've got Marcus Point Baptist Church, Truth Rising, which is our women's ministry that's hosting this. On top of that, KTF up here, if you look and you see that fish, it's the Kimberly Tower Foundation through Costello's Butcher Shop. Christy Costello decided back when COVID hit, she knew the schools were going to shut down, and she knew kids were going to be hungry. So she started feeding kids 7 days a week. A child can walk in there and get a free sack lunch. She puts enough for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And she's done over 80,000. Are we beyond that, Christy? 80,000. Yeah. So she's done over 80,000 free lunches. Is it?
Woohoo!
Did you say 100? Nice. Okay, so that's the KTF is for women and children. And so Christy just got behind all of the things, Truth Rising, anything that has to do with this. So that's who the KTF is and just the story behind that. And she started that in honor of her mom. Her mom's name was Kimberly Tower, lived a really rough life, and they had a solid year of just amazing things that God did. So that's the KTF. That's the little backstory there.
So we will have some giveaways tonight. From the KTF as well. We have these amazing men and women coolers.
Yes.
His and hers. And then you can also see these tables and chairs. Those were donated by C&C Outdoors Plus. They donate those. They have a value of $2,999. And one of you lucky people will be going home with those tonight.
They're boat material. They don't get hot. You don't have to get cushions.
You don't need cushions.
They're very cute. And they have the little logo on it.
On it. So somebody will be enjoying those.
I hope you brought your truck.
Or you'll be coming back to pick them up later. Also, Evans Automobiles donated an oil change. So you lucky husbands will have one free oil change. You won't have to change your wife's oil for her vehicle. Lucky you.
Yes.
And then we have a family night gift basket as well, family night in. And last but not least, we had a photographer donate a $300 value session for a family
awesome.
Photo session. So somebody will be blessed with that as well.
Elizabeth's Photography, right?
Elizabeth's yes. Photography, yes.
Yes.
So absolutely. We will be raffling those off throughout the night.
Okay.
That's it.
Where are we at now?
You're going to introduce our first speakers.
Oh, yay. That's what I'm doing. Okay, so Shawnee, you're so pretty. All right, Shawnee and Tim are coming up. Y'all, I'm going to let them tell you a little bit about who they are. So let's give a round of applause for Shawnee and Tim. And they're bringing some props.
For those of you who are worried, I brought my stopwatch up here because Tim and I, if we start talking about anything, like
so you're already taking the time already.
I know, but I haven't started the stopwatch. We could talk forever. So I told him, the problem is not getting 30 minutes. The problem is shutting up in 30 minutes. So we're going to. I'm going to move this.
All right. Strict rules for my wife, so she'll be
go ahead. You get to start.
Okay, so my name is Tim Trowbridge. I'm actually from a town called Kennett, Missouri. I've been in Florida for about 7 years now. Obviously I'm a prior Leo.
I didn't know law enforcement officer.
I'm sorry. I'm a prior law enforcement officer. I didn't really know I was going to be a law enforcement officer until I went to college. And I went to college, University of Missouri, Columbia. And of course I was so wise back then because I had a computer science degree, doing pretty good. And I wanted more money, and I told my dorm mate, I said, hey, I've got to get a job. I said, maybe Taco Bell, because I really like the burritos at Taco Bell, you know, 99 cents.
Good reason.
And he said, dude, he said, the guy down the hallway, he works for the police department, and he said, he makes pretty good money, you know? And I said, well, is there like nights? What about the time? I got school during the day. He said, no, he works like a night shift. I said, oh, okay. So I go down there, and I talk to him and said, hey, look, I don't know what this is about, but you know, is there a job for the police department, you know? And I don't know nothing about being a cop. He says, yeah, the best thing is you get free tickets to all the football games and basketball games. You get all that stuff. So I said, yeah, I'll try it out. So long story short, I know I'm on a timer. I really enjoyed it. And part of the thing, there's a cadet program. So you're actually working with the police department. And you're writing parking tickets for the most part, but the nighttime you get to write the guys and you get to do different things. And man, I really, really enjoyed it. And ended up, my first year, I decided to leave college, which was smart, to go to the St. Charles Law Enforcement Academy. Great time. And man, at that point, I'm like 20 years old, so I couldn't even buy ammunition or anything, maybe 19. And I complete the academy, and I go to my local department and trying to get going. Well, they had just started this thing with federal housing. Federal housing had this thing, this three strikes, you're out. Brand new deal, and it was going to be like they were going to try it out. So, yeah, we'll give you a commission. I know you're not 21, you can't buy ammunition, but we can. The sheriff can actually give you a commission, and you can go out there and work this year part-time. So I did that, and I started dispatching. Anyway, I became a police officer. In fact, when I was going to do this with the badges, I got my first badge, and when I retired, I got all my badges back, which is pretty cool. So anyway, I was a police officer. I was working the street, did that for about 5 years, and I got an opportunity. During that time, we had a baby, and Shawnee got pregnant with my first daughter, Prisda.
All by myself.
And
no help. Yeah.
And I get offered to go to the Drug Task Force unit. So I was thinking, Drug Task Force unit, I don't know anything about it. I'm on the street and I'm just kicking tail and enjoying it, saving the world. And Shawnee says, no. She says, no, we just had a baby. There's too much time. So we had Prisda about a year later. The chief comes to me and says, hey, he said, this opportunity is coming again. We really want you to do it because, man, you're just killing it on the street, man. Mm-hmm. So I said, yes, I did that.
That's why I was holding up the badges, because obviously he didn't listen to me in the first place when I said no.
Yeah.
We have two badges from the Drug Task Force. Thank you.
So anyway, I start the Drug Task Force, and if you're anything about narcotics, you're on what we call doper time. So, man, you got a cell phone in your pocket, and I'm making a killing, man. I'm just doing great. It's just one of those things that, man, I can talk with the best of them. And the family gets into it. And in our department, you did five and out. So you did 5 years, and you're doing undercover work and that sort of thing, and it's five and out, you're back on the street, and you get automatic promotion to a sergeant or a corporal at the time. So anyway, I'm coming up on my five, and man, I'm killing it. And it ended up, I got an offer to work on it's called an OSIDF case, but anyway, it's a federal drug task force, and the FBI wanted to swear me in. I was actually sworn in as a special deputy with the FBI, and I did that, and it was great. Man, I was all over the place. We were up in Chicago and Memphis. During this time, Shawnee had the second child and then the third child.
All by myself again.
And again, when you're on doper time, there was times that I get called out. They would call Shawnee and say, hey, Tim's not going to be there. He's going to be in Chicago, but he doesn't have his cell phone with him. So that, I remember that phone call she got, however she handled that, whatever. But and then been times that she can tell those stories. If you're involved in an officer-involved shooting, of course, they take all your stuff. If you're in a standoff, you're not answering. Back then, they didn't even have cell phones or not. So, and then the times you get injured on the job and they rush you to the hospital and a major comes and picks her up and says, come to the hospital. I don't know how she deals with all that stuff, but she does. And I did that and I retired as a captain. We decided, I'm getting my 25 in. I got my 25 years in. We decided what a great time to retire, put the badge away. We had just left a lot of things with law enforcement. It really changed. I was working homicide investigation at the time, so I had tons of homicide cases that was going on. Loved it, but it was coming to an end of my career. I was ready to get out. Things had changed too much, and I was ready to get out. We moved to Florida. I was going to go to work at the sheriff's office here because it was the only thing I've ever done, and I decided to take another job as a business administrator. It wasn't my thing. Couldn't get involved with it, and just could not deal with it. So then I was going to go back into law enforcement. I went to the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office, did my whole thing there, actually working 4-10s, which is great. Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, you know, just beautiful schedule. And then Sally happened, we lost our house. And then, you know, I'm getting to the point where I just want a little bit something different. I'm up 50 years old, and I've been as a cop all my life. I want to try something different. So then I took a job. I've been there for 3 months now at emergency management in Santa Rosa County. So it's kind of a different thing. I'm still involved. And I told Shawnee, I said, I miss being a cop. You know, I've been a cop for all my entire life. So I just took a part-time job at George Stone teaching new cops new things. So that's the law enforcement bit. She can tell you how that's tough
he
living with me.
He took two of my 5 minutes, so yeehaw. So this This was his first badge. This is the guy I married. This guy was just the dispatcher. He was just a kid. And he was bringing home $187 a week. We were rolling in the dough. This was dispatch. This was, I hung out up at the office with him. But this is the guy I built a relationship with. This is the guy that I married. We dated. I dated 936. I married 936. I married completely blind. I was a preacher's kid. So there's really not a vaster expanse between things in a preacher's kid and a cop. So his parents were more country club, Eagles Club people, and my parents were more camp meeting, church service people. So it was a...
shock?
That's a nice word. We'll use shock. It was a shock to be married into law enforcement. How many, or is anybody in here law enforcement? Anybody? Ah, law enforcement.
There we go.
Okay. Well, there's just something about it. And when we started, police officers were a whole lot more respected than they are now. I have to say to anyone who is still in law enforcement, I just tip my hat because we spent 30 years as a law enforcement wife is a long time for your husband to be in a job where people really don't respect what he does. It's tough. But I brought all of these out because all of these badges caused different prayers for me. Personally, I liked this guy the best. This was dispatch guy, and he didn't require a whole lot of prayer because he sat in a concrete office 12 hours a day and answered calls and sent people places. But then he started getting other things, and when his rank started moving up and he started doing drug task force and we had children, you start learning that whole for better and for worse thing. It becomes a different thing. Like he said, when someone calls you and says, hey, your husband's in Chicago and you can't talk to him and we can't tell you when he's coming back and we can't tell you where he's at or what he's doing, and I'm home working a full-time job and have two small children. And I'm just going to bed at night going, oh, God, please just let him come back because I just cannot raise two children by myself. You know, selfish prayers.
I was having fun.
He was having a blast. I was home stressing out. And things, God had to work on me in order to be a law enforcement wife, a fireman's wife, a military wife. The wives, unless the woman's doing it in the man's home. So if there's any of that situation, then men, you can listen to me. There is something you have to learn, which I'm not good at. And I admit it right off the top. We've been married almost 30 years, and I guess I'm okay at it now because he's not in law enforcement anymore. But me being second. So people are nodding. So there are people who understand. The hardest thing in a relationship is to learn that you're second. And one of our favorite shows, there's a line from one of our favorite shows where
Leo
says to him, yeah, I knew, you know, Leo says to his wife, you know, this is important. My job is important. And she says, more important than our marriage? And he says, right now, yes. And when I heard that, like, that almost made me mad. But then I realized, being a first responder, being a police officer, being in military, there is a calling that you have to accept that what you're doing is a calling. It's not just a job. It's not like I get up and go to work. I'm a project manager for an engineering firm. I get up and go to work, and if I get mad at my boss, I'm just going to leave because I'm just going to, and I'll go find another job. When you're in the military, it doesn't work like that. You can't just get up one morning and be like, I don't like where they're deploying me, so I'm out. It doesn't work like that. When you're in law enforcement, you can't get someone come at you and you're like, fine, you can steal whatever you want. I'm done with this. It doesn't work like that. So this is a high calling. And I want to say, as someone who's second, I honor those of you who have put what's important first. Even if it's just during your shift, that is what's important. Your mind can't be home. Your mind can't be other places. Thank you for putting us second. It's hard sometimes, but part of building a relationship is being able to accept the fact that it's okay to be second. By golly, I'm the best second you'll ever see, but I am second. So, first responders. there are things you have to consider when you take the job that don't sound like big deals when you take it, but they become things. Things like time constraints. We discussed a minute ago things like going places and you're gone for days at a time. Or, you know, if you're on deployment, for those of you who are in the military, when you're on deployment, I can't imagine that. Like, I used to get angry when it was 6 p.m. and my husband was supposed to be home, and then it was 7 p.m. and he was supposed to be home at 6, then it was 6:30 and he was supposed to, you know, on and on. I can't imagine the wives that are like, it's February and my husband was supposed to be home in December. That's a whole nother thing.
Well, then, but from the cop side of things.
Yes.
So we made it work, though. I mean, for instance, when you're a young cop, well, see, there's a difference in cops. If you're a cop, and you can tell me this, there's a cop from 1 year to 5 years. When you're 1 year to 5 years, you're like gung-ho, going to save the world. I'm going to do everything. It's on me, my buddies, and we're going to go out there and put everybody in jail. Or right. We used to have ticket races back in the 90s, which you guys won't, maybe if you're not a cop, you won't understand. But anyway, but then that the 5 to 10, in my mind, I call them the 5 to 10-year cop is, you're either training or you're complaining, you know, and you're about to either you're going to train new cops how to do things, but you're going to complain about how the department's not taking care of you. Then if you're a 10 plus guy, you know, you're just hanging out now. You're loving telling stories, hanging out with the old guys, that sort of thing. But so when as going through me as a young cop, we wanted to work night shift, right? If you're on night shift, you get a whole different set of calls, and that's really fun and great. Then you sleep during the day. Mm-hmm. So the sacrifice that the husband had to make, you know, I would work from 6 to 4, 6 p.m. to 4 a.m., which was the fun shift. You come in when it's hitting, and you go home when it's ending. And I'd come home, and I would sleep from, if I got off on time, I'd sleep from 4 to 6 or 8 when you get up for work, and mm-hmm. then I'd be handed over the babies.
So the hard part is the extra hours, but the good part is we were on.
But you see the sacrifice that the officer made, right? You see the sacrifice that the dad made to make it work,
yes.
Right?
Yes, we all. Yes. So the good thing about that, there's so many pitfalls and bonuses when you're in this job, like pitfalls, things like long hours, night shift, not knowing where you're going to be deployed to, things like that. The bonus is when you've worked all those hours and you've been gone, you don't feel bad about saying, today we're sitting on the couch. We ain't doing nothing. We've put our time in. You know, relationship-wise, when your husband is working long hours or your husband is deployed or your husband has been in a situation that's bad, when he comes home, there's always this renewed, oh, okay, he's back, you know. Let's work. Let's make sure that everything's good. I want to make sure the home's good for him. I want to make sure he's comfortable. I want to make sure that we spend time together, that we build our relationship, because I don't know when the next time is going to be, when he's going to be out for days upon end, you know. So although it sounds like a negative, there are some things that you can use as a positive, because I've griped about this plenty. But you can use these as a positive in that, yes, he was gone long hours, but he came home to you. When it was over, he came home. So when he walks in the door, instead of saying, where have you been? Which some people have said. But usually you say, thank you, God, for bringing my husband home safe.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you, Lord, that he has done his job. He's done it well. And now he came home and the children are happy to see him. And I'm happy to see him and we have time together. So it's easy to find the ugly stuff. If you're looking in your relationship for the bad things, they are not hard to find because you are two separate people. But if you are looking for a way to strengthen your relationship and you're looking for a way to say, I mean, we're at 30 years. Who's above 30 years? Who's been married longer than 30 years? Anybody been married longer than 30 years? Boom! I love that! Yes! We're the longevity, baby. When you get to 30 years, like I look back, if there's anything bad you can think of in a marriage, we've probably been through it. But we're here 30 years later, and I am more in love with my husband now than I ever have been because I stuck it out, because I let God use our marriage, use what he was doing, use who he is as a person, and I although I wanted to many, 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 many times tell him, please do something else. Anything. Pump gas for a living. I don't care. Just do anything else. Anything but what you're doing.
And our to me and to our kids, really supportive too. It's
very
when
much.
You have law enforcement children, you know, they live in that world where they're just used to being a cop. And I can remember, I can tell you tons of stories. And Shawnee said, don't tell any stories. That's what cops do, tell stories, right? But my kids, especially my son grew up, well, my daughters did too, working for the task force, you would have guys get ready for a search warrant, and they would come over to my house, and we would all get ready. They would be boot and suit over there, and, you know, they would push Harrison out of the way to get him off of their machine guns and stuff, you know, that sort of thing. So that was a whole
concept. Let me tell this story, and then we'll do show of hands if anyone else has had their child ever say this. My daughter had a friend stay the night on a Saturday night, and we were going to church the next morning. And we went out to get in Tim's vehicle. Tim was going to drive us to church. And my daughter, who was probably 10 maybe at the time, said, just move the meth lab over to the side and sit beside it. Come on, show of hands. Anybody else? Anybody else's kids?
So there's a story with that, too, if you want to know the stuff that works
anyone?
Out.
No? But... no? All right. There's anyone else's child been wired and used as bait? No.
Again, we're not telling all those stories. But there were several times, too, that where I really think back now that my kids really just dealt with it. There were several different times working for the drug task force. And again, you're on doper time. People that you've been waiting for to call you to buy dope, right, or whatever. They're wanting to sell you something. And they call you, and you're at a restaurant with your family. And so I'm sitting there on my phone with, you know, trying to have family time, and then – setting up dope deals, you know, setting up, you know, how many pounds of cocaine or how many, you know, 8-ball of crack. Can you give me an 8-ball of crack, you know, or whatever on the phone? And the kids are sitting there at dinner and they're looking around, Dad. They've always been supportive too. So your children, we don't even think about it a whole lot, but they put up with a lot of stuff too. And they've really held on and supported us as well. So
there are some things about military, law enforcement, first responders, blah, blah, blah. There's a thing called the power principle that, if we don't cover anything else, because we like to tell stories, I want to talk about. Because there's a thing called the power principle that when you're in this type of job, it requires someone with a very much type A personality to be this, to be successful, to be a successful law enforcement officer, to be a successful fireman, to be a successful military personnel. You have to have the right personality. You have to be able to be secure in who you are. Be secure in what you're walking into. So there's what's called the power principle. And I started dating him when he was 19, almost 20. I watched over the years the different trainings he went to, the different weapons he came home with, the different tactics they taught him, all the different things that he learned. And those of you who have been through all these trainings and physical things, and you've learned to use different weapons, and you've learned fighting, there is something that happens to you psychologically when you learn all those things. It's called the power principle. And you reach the place where you become very secure in yourself. You become, he called it cocky. I mean, there's a security of, if somebody comes at me, I know how to handle it. You know, like, we brought this because this, my friends, is called the PR-24.
Yes, it is.
I remember when my husband was assigned this, and he came home to show me all the things that this would do. Look, babe, I can put your arm behind your back and bend you over really quick. And
I was 21 years old.
Yes. Okay.
I don't do that now. They don't even give those things out
anymore. I was
going to
say, this is like an antique. You could like buy this on eBay or something. But I remember when he learned how to use this, and he came home, and there was something primal. There was something primal that, like, he learned how to defend himself with this stick. You know, they gave him this stick. And so there were times I would say to him, take off the uniform.
You weren't holding it right, by the way.
So. Oh, I'm sorry. Just kidding. I'm sorry. There were times I would say, babe, take off the uniform. You're home. Not like take off the uniform as he was sitting around on the couch with his gear on. But the power principle is hard to shut off. Because they train you to constantly be aware of your surroundings, be aware of what's going on. You know, always looking for something that's out of place, always looking for somebody that's whatever. And it's very hard to turn that off. And so in marriage, it's a very difficult thing. This is why who we are, the divorce rate is higher in law enforcement, fire department, military families. Not as much military families, because the military does not want you to divorce, but the divorce rate is very high because they do such an intense job and they're so 1,000% about what they do that you have to remember sometimes, hey, take off the uniform. When you come home, I'm just Shawnee and you're just Tim. I wash your underwear. So I don't care if you learned how to whatever you do with that thing. Just sit down and eat your rice-a-roni that I made you for supper and calm down.
It was hamburger helper. We couldn't afford rice-a-roni.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We weren't that fancy. There's a thing called the uniform appeal. The uniform appeal, us women love and we hate. Because let me tell you something. My husband looks hot in a uniform. We're all adults here, and I'm just going to be real. My husband looks good in a uniform. But there is a thing called the uniform appeal. Because you put that uniform on, it's all pressed. You got all those sparkly little stars and gold things, and you got the whatever, whatever. It looks good. But the problem is, it doesn't just look good to me. It looks good to other people. And when he's working night shift, I can spend all my time worrying about who's being attracted to my guy in a uniform, right? Or you can just say, God, I give our relationship to you. This is the man I pledged before God that we were going to be faithful to each other. And I trust him. He has gone days that I've not seen him, been with people I don't know. People show up and talk to him. Women call on the phone. Do you know where your husband is? You know, there is a trust that only develops over time when you've been with someone that you love and that you've consecrated your relationship properly. That happens. And if you are not there yet and you are struggling in that part of your relationship.
And my captain went to your dad's church, by the way. So.
Well, that didn't hurt. But no, if you're at that point and you struggle, it is real. It is very real. It's real to wonder where your spouse is at. It's real to wonder who they're involved with. It's very real. And don't let anyone make you feel like you're an idiot because you feel these things. But this is the point where building a strong relationship, not just time together, but we go to church together. We spend time in prayer together. We spend time with our family together. There's nothing that will seal a relationship like spending time with your children. You spend time with your children and you realize all the things you love about your spouse. How many of you guys have ever seen your spouse with your child and it just does something to you, right? It does. I don't know how to explain it, but the first time I saw him hold our first kid, I was like, oh my God, I love that man so much. Like I see him even now. We just had our first grandbaby. Oh my gosh. It's so amazing. I know I don't look like anybody's grandma, but I am. He looks like he's got like 10 grandkids, but it's my first one.
And I need a haircut.
We just had our first grandbaby. But like he walked in and saw the grandbaby in his face and he took it. And I was like, oh my God, I love that man so much. He's so sweet with a grandbaby. Oh, things that you can't get overnight. This is relationship building. Sorry. I know. Okay. Let's move on to the end. You can start that one because that's important.
Right? Her topic was talk about when... When do you stop? Yeah, how can you stop being a cop? When do you put that stuff down? And that's when I brought those belts in. Like for me individually, this was one of the belts that I wore when I retired from as a captain. And truly, it was weird when I left and I put this one down. And this was my actual belt that I wore, and it's dirty and all that. It used to be shiny, high gloss, you know, that sort of thing. And then there's things like you can tell for the real cop, you know, the places that you wear out. And when you finally decide to drop this for the first time, you know, this is your Batman belt. So it's almost like a sense of security when I wore this thing. And, man, not being a cop, not being in the captain, you know, I had guys that were under me, and they all, you know, we had a relationship and family and stuff like that, and you're brothers. And I'm sure the military guys are the same way. When you work every day with these guys, you go to war with these guys, you know, these are your brothers. And then you take your Batman belt off, man, it was tough. You know, it really, really was. And I did it. I was away for like a year and just missed it. And just, I knew I wasn't a business guy. That, you know, I was, you have something different in your heart. You want to serve and protect and be out in the community. And then I went to Okaloosa County and I got my sheriff's belt. And when I left there, in fact, my major, they called me in. The true story is I knew I'm going to retire. I'm known I'm going to quit. You know, I've got the new job. It's better for my family. My kids was saying, my Harrison came to me and said, Dad, he said, I'll be really glad you don't have to go to work wearing a bulletproof vest and a gun. And he don't even know this. Of course, Shawnee does. I was thinking about not taking this job. You know, I said, yeah, this, you know, it's better. I'm 5 minutes from home instead of an hour from home. It's better hours. It's going to be, you know, I'm excited, but I don't know if I can give up the power that comes with the belt. And I'll be completely honest. I don't know if I've told you this or not, but as I'm going through turning all my gear in,
this is not the place to let it go. It's not bad. Okay, good.
It's just the truth. When I'm going around, you have to go around to all the different places, turn in your computer and your guns, your machine guns, your car, and all this stuff. And my captain, Captain Matt Abbott, says, "Hey," he says, "the major wants to talk to you before you go." And it's Major Howe, Mike Howe, and I'll give him credit. And I go in there, and Major Howe's about super supportive of me, you know, the old guy, that sort of thing. And I go in there, and I'm giving up my law enforcement. This is my last belt. This is my last Batman belt that I'm going to be able to wear in my life. And I put it down there, and he starts talking. He says, "I don't think you're going to like it, Tim." And I said, "But you're doing it for the right reasons." And I just start bawling. 50-year-old man, and knowing I'm giving up everything that I've ever done since I was 19 years old. I'm taking my Batman belt and I'm giving it away for the final time, you know, and I bawled like a baby, you know, and he gets up and Captain Abbott closes the door and I said, "Guys, I'm sorry." I said, "I've never done this before." And they both said, "It's an emotional moment, man. It's okay." So there's three guys in there and we're bawling. I'm bawling because I'm putting it down, but it's hard. And then the short story was I called Shawnee back and is, "Hey, I quit, but I didn't really quit. They asked me to stay on just part-time to see if I like it." And the truth is, I was going to turn it in last week, but still am. I'm still a part-time deputy over there because it's so hard. And this next week, I'm actually going to take this back, but it's hard. But you got to know, Shawnee said, "Is there a time that you knew where time to give it up?" And military and police, I think it comes at the time that different time in my life, it's hard, but I want to devote all my time now to my grandbaby. You know, I want to have more time to do the things that I wasn't able to do by driving an hour to work every day, having more time to get involved in a small, it's one thing I haven't done at Marcus Point yet, is get involved in a small group, and I want to have a relationship. You know, I want to tell the young guys, you know, how important it is to read the Bible and get involved in a church, you know, and God is real, you know, and there's times that, and I didn't even know, I was a young kid, didn't even know what praying and fasting was. And I heard about praying and fasting all this time new in the church, and I'll never forget the time. Of course, I'm kind of deviating from your thing, mm-hmm. but I was holding my baby prisoner for the first time, 21-year-old Kelly, my baby for the first time, and she's got a fever, a raging fever, and I didn't know what to do, you know. And Shawnee fixed my best meal. My favorite meal at the time was chicken pot pie. And I loved her chicken pot pie. She fixes chicken pot pies, got it laid out. I just get home from work. I rip off all my gear. I take off my bulletproof vest, and Prisda's still hot, you know, hot fever. And I've been working. I'm just ready. And I pick her up, and she's blazing hot. And I'm just, "God, please just do this." And I thought, for some reason, I thought about this prayer or this message that Brother Magruder had preached about praying and fasting. I told Shawnee, I said, "You know what? I want to pray to God that right now the fever goes away. I'm making the commitment right now. I'm going to fast this meal that you want and pray while you're eating my favorite meal, and I'm going to hold the Prisda." And honest to God, as soon as Shawnee starts taking her bite and I'm praying, holding my baby, she starts breaking a sweat. And I mean, it was the weirdest thing. She's just pouring water and her fever breaks and she whitens it up. So then I started eating. No, just kidding. No. Now, I honored God, but I want to be able to share stories like that with younger people. You know, as a 50-year-old man, there's time I'm willing now. I'm going to put my Batman belt away. I know that I got other things to give in the community and for family, and I'm ready now to do it. So it's tough. It's tough, and I'm sure for military guys it's the same thing. For fire guys it's the same thing. But you just got to know there's a time in your life when you got wanted to devote things to devote your time to other things for your family, for your friends, for your church. And that's where I'm now. But and it's tough. So that's my bit about how to give it up. Or knowing when it's time to give it up.
Knowing when it's time to give it up. But here's the end of what we're gonna say. All of you are in a service position. The job that you do is a service position. You serve people. So you are second also. You put yourself second. People that are firemen put themselves second when they run into burning buildings. People who are law enforcement put themselves second when they see a crime is being committed and they run towards it instead of away from it. People in the military who go into war knowing what war is and what war causes put themselves second. So this is a service, completely service-oriented building right now. Everybody in here understands what it is to serve. Everybody in here in the job that you're in or the job your spouse is in, you understand what it's like to be unappreciated when you serve, but it didn't stop you. I like to parallel the fact that we are called to serve. We are called to serve Christ. I am always second to what God wants. God is always first. I am always second. And if we get that part of our life in perspective, if I always understand in me, I am always second, God is always first. Whatever his plan is for my life, wherever he takes me, whatever my husband ends up dragging us into with our next job or whatever, yes, I am second. And I'm okay being second. I'm okay with God being first and being the person who leads me. My husband being the head of our home, he's first and I'm second as well. But when you get in perspective the fact that God is in control and it's okay to not be in control, it's okay to allow God to lead you, then it's not as difficult. When you've accepted that, it's not as difficult in your relationship, your personal relationship, to say, my husband is my head. The Bible talks about being submissive, and I've already said, submissive is not my, I don't jihad well with submission. I'm just not. But
say that again, you're what? You're willing to be what? She's lying.
To build your relationship, you have to be second to the service position that they're in. But the only way to be able to survive and make it 30 years, which I'm so excited, we're almost 30 years. The only way to make it to 30 years is you have to have God at the center of your relationship. You absolutely have to. There's no way 30 years later he and I could stand where we are right now in front of you. We have nothing to give you. We've just lasted longer than everybody else. You know, I mean, we've learned that if we just trust God in our relationship, we are so unbelievably blessed to have been able to serve. I got to serve second, but I gave my husband for 30 years to that profession. And I'm so proud of the things that he's done, the collage of badges, the things that he's accomplished. I'm so very proud of that. But I know that at any moment, he could have been taken away. There's story after story of things where he could have been taken away. I have to have my relationship with God as first and understand when he left the house every day, I would say, God, you take care of him until end of shift, and I'll take care of him until he comes back. So if you're sitting by someone who is in a service position, if your spouse serves, just reach over and touch their hand. Just say, thank you for putting me second, and I'm going to try my best to be really good in the position that God has placed me in. So thank you guys for listening to us rattle. And if you don't mind, I would like to pray over you guys, if you don't mind. You'll bow your head for just a second. Father, I thank you for this room. The servant's heart that is in this room is so enormous. And the fact that they have given their life, not only in service of you, but also in service of country, in service of community, in service of family. I pray, Jesus, that a hedge of protection is around every person that is in this room. I pray, God, that you lead and direct us, Father. whatever the next step is, for those who are just starting, I pray that you order their steps every day. Give them favor in their community. Give them favor in their job. For those who are ending their watch, I pray, Jesus, that you guide them on what is next. You direct them to the next step, Father, because it doesn't end after we retire. It's just the beginning. And I pray, Jesus, for direction. I pray, God, for protection. I pray for your favor to be over our lives. And thank you, Father, that you've created a desire in our heart to be servants for your kingdom.
Amen.
I pray you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Sorry if we took up too much time.
Well, Tim, so you guys hang out for a sec. First, if you want to fill out your connection cards, that's how you're going to win. We got to get those done because we're going to announce the first drawing here in a minute. But I was a cop for like 1 second, and I got myself locked into a dog kennel with my weapon in a snowstorm. So I really appreciate what you do.
Wow.
But you guys, so we heard there's a housing situation for you, a little bit, something going on, Johnny?
Oh, us?
Yeah. So we just want to let you know, Terry's got a little something to surprise you guys with.
We weren't aware until last night that your guys' house was taken by Sally. And last night we were at dinner as a team, and we were just like, we have to do something. What are we going to do? And in less than 24 hours, God moved. And so we would like to bless you guys with $2,000 from
Dear
Kimberly
God.
Tower yep. Foundation, Truth Rising, and Elijah Mountain Ministry.
Mm-hmm. So. They've been living in a trailer for 2 years,
thank
y'all.
Thank you so much. Wow.
So this is only a little portion of it, and the rest is coming. We have to write you a check.
And we know they have a GoFundMe, so too. We're going to get that information. They've been living out of a camper for the last 2 years since Sally hit. And so that is just a little bit. Hopefully it goes even more.
That's more than what, I mean, that's crazy. Thank you all so much. Wow.
All right, now go sit down. Just kidding. I know. She can sing about it too. The woman has a voice. All right. I left my piece of paper, Tara. Do you know what we're doing now?
No, mine's down there, but we're going to do a giveaway.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so wait a minute. If you haven't filled out a connection card, ladies, anybody? Do it, because the first one is the lady. Amy, hi. I just saw some friends. We just moved. We're military. We just left. And Lord and Van. Anyway, so we're going to be giving the Yeti cooler away. Hi, Van. Hey, buddy. So if you haven't, you're so pretty. I love you. Give me a hug. Okay. Okay, so anybody else? You can raise your hand if you're still writing. Okay. No? This is a Yeti beautiful cooler from the Costellos. Oh, there you go. That's nice.
Here, you pick.
Okay.
Hopefully it's a girl.
I think so. Jerilyn Tharp.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Congratulations!
That's yours. Let me set this down.
I'm going to stall while they put on their headset real quick. Welcome. There, it's right over there. She's going to hook you up with it.
We have one more.
Yay. Enjoy. That's, yeah.
You pick.
What are we drawing for? Oh, yeah. This is the basket Tara brought. Yeah. There you guys go. It's a night in basket. It's got some cute little treats. So you can just hang out and enjoy. I think, does everyone still enter for, anyways, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so you guys, we are now going to move on to the next couple coming up to speak. Her hair is stuck. So, first of all, you guys, I'm just so glad you're here. It's nice to just be in a space with other people who just get it. You don't have to sit there and explain it. You can come relax. There's childcare, which is amazing. And I'm appreciative you guys came to spend time with us. This is not an easy lifestyle. You can't compare them. There's no comparing of the lifestyles or the marriages or the relationships, whatever it may be. But I will say this, the more you start to place, like Tim and Shawnee were talking, your identity in Christ, all that other stuff can change. It can crumble. It can burn up. It can do whatever it is. It can be taken by a hurricane. But you're still going to know who you are because that doesn't move. That's the only thing solid you'll ever have. Sorry, babe. I was a horrible codependent, and my husband's a man of many words, not really, but I would look to him for my emotional everything, and it didn't work. I had to look to Christ. I can't look to him. He's not made to carry that. That's not who he is. So just putting that out there, if your identity is not set there, you're in for a really bad ride. It's going to be really rough. And it still may be really rough with Christ as your identity, but at least you have the fruit of the Spirit. You got that joy, that peace, all those things they talk about that you can't have aside from him. That's who he is. That's what he is in you. So again, it can be burning down. Your marriage can be hanging on by a thread, but guess what? You have hope in Jesus. You have hope in that. So just think about that. Alyssa, did you get your hair out? Oh, there you go.
So you're not on yet.
You're good to go. All right, you guys, this is Alyssa and Lou. They're coming up. Welcome them up here to the stage. There we go.
Here at Truth Rising, we believe in the power of prayer. And today, we want to pray a blessing over you and your family. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.